Hola, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a bilingual podcast that shares interviews with self-made millionaires, financially savvy investors, and all things financial literacy and dinero. Your host, Natalie Torres, is a two-time TEDx speaker, an award-winning author, investor, and financially savvy Latina that has been featured on NBC, Telemundo, and Forbes as a financial literacy and mental health advocate. She is joined by her co-host, Vera Eagley, an author, investor, and seasoned insurance professional. Hello, hello, and welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres Haddad, and I'm here with Vera Eagley. Hello, my friend.
Hello. How are you guys today?
Oh, excited because our special guest is someone who I'm so lucky I can call her as a friend as well. But you know, it's funny, people turn out as colleagues first, and then you are just drawn to their energy. And I'll tell you a bit, Sara Herrera is one of those people. We met at a local Alpha LA chapter event, and we hit it off right away. And it's a not just a mutual feeling when you feel the energy. Like when I brag about Vera, people are like, you got to meet Vera. Her energy is great. You're going to love her. I felt the same with her. So the fact that I'm hearing her story, and today all of you will get to not only listen to what she's been doing and some travel trips. Please tell us a little bit about your travel experience, because you're not an LA native, but you are definitely living the LA life at the beach. So welcome to our podcast, and tell us where you started off. What city?
Thank you, Vera. So nice to meet you. Since I've met Natalie, she's like, I cannot wait until you guys meet. So I'm happy that we're able to do this. As Natalie said, I'm originally from Chicago, so I am not from the West Coast. I am falling in love, though, real quick with California, but I am born and raised in the city of Chicago. I am a first generation Latina, a proud daughter of Mexican immigrants, but I moved away out of Chicago after college. So I started my career in Dallas, where I spent 6 years in the Dallas area, bought our first house in that area. I am in corporate America. So because of that, then I was able to move around. So after spending 6 years in Dallas, I moved to Atlanta for 2 years to get my master's in business. So I finished that about a year ago and then decided that I will be moving back to Texas, but relocating to Houston, where I'm working for a large oil and gas company there. So I am also part of a rotational program where I move around every 6 months for 2 years. So I started off my first 6 months in Houston. I am loving the change of pace and the change of heatness over here in LA. So I've been in LA, we'll be here for a total of 6 months, but now I've been here for about 3 months and had the joy of meeting Natalie early in. So I consider her my mentor, literally introducing me to all the best people, places, and things to do on the West Coast. So LA has been home. I am specifically living a really cool life where we're moving around from beach city to beach city. So we decided to do the Airbnb route instead of finding like one corporate housing. So smart. Every 6 to 8 weeks, you see me moving all of my stuff around in a suitcase from Manhattan Beach to Marina del Rey to Venice. So literally in the move of it.
That's a dream. I love that. That's so cool. I think there's people that like think in their hearts, like, I wish I could move around. And here you are actually doing it. That's so cool.
You learn how to become like a minimalist of like, do I really need to like move around with my favorite coffee mug, or is that something that I could just stay behind? Like, what? How many pairs of shoes do I really need to move around? Because I keep visualizing like all the, you know, all the packing that's involved. I'm like, okay, maybe I don't need that many pairs of shoes.
And you build your wardrobe as you move along, and especially seeing what you're going through, like different locations. LA has this beautiful, the beach, hello, it's the breeze that you're coming in with, and Vera knows that. And then the fact that you have, I love the courage that you have to try something that not just Latinas, just women or anyone in general might not be willing to do. And Vera and I are like, we're so jealous. How do we, you know, log on to something like that for 6 months at a time or different months? So you thought out of the box and you just said Airbnb it, and you get some beautiful homes. The fact that you can be literally walking distance to the beach is a find. So Vera and I have already been bragging about like, oh, can we dream through you?
Yeah. I also realized the joy of living by the beach is that you literally just need like a pair of leggings and some shorts and a baseball cap, and that's it.
Like there's like no a sweater fanciness for the nighttime.
Like it's, you know, like, oh, it's literally like a level of like simplicity that I feel like I needed in my life right now.
Yeah. That's so cool. When you mentioned oil and gas, or even before, when you mentioned Texas, mm-hmm. then everything mm-hmm. fell into place as far as like what you do. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I like that.
What would be the best financial advice you've gotten with this short-term living and as you're packing up, doing it again every 30 days?
I think for one of the biggest pieces, really learning how to live beneath your means. I think when you're moving around, my husband and I, because he's doing this life with me right now. So that's including the Airbnb moves. But one of the things that we've learned is that it's so easy to get yourself in this, like, we're on vacation trap, right? Like, we're here for 6 months. Like, remind you, I'm working here, you know, like, life, we're here living. But it's so easy to be like, we're on vacation. Like, that means that we're going out every week. We are trying all these, like, beach places, LA restaurants. Like, we're going to these festivals. I'm buying my cafecito every morning, right? That within, like, 4 to 5 weeks, we're like, hey, let's look at our budget, because we're treating it as if we're on vacation, and we're not, right? Like, there's still part of this that's still our normal everyday life. And with that comes having to be more conscious of, I think there's literally no lie, a day that we were going out for 7 days straight, like either going out for breakfast, going out for dinner, getting a cafecito with my breakfast burrito, because I'm like obsessed with breakfast burritos in California right now. And then all of that starts like really adding up, especially with us coming from Texas, right? There was a price difference in our everyday life that I think we have to have that sit down conversation and literally go through our numbers and be like, what's going on his card versus what's going on my card. And then we add the total up and we're like, okay, we are not on vacation. Like, we, the same rule applies that we have of living under our means, right? It's still takes into effect even as we're moving around, even if there's so much curiosity that we have of like getting things off the list of like the best Italian food, right? The best sushi, best mariscos, like all of this, like best food, there has to be like a balance of like, okay, if I'm going to cook, you know, 4 or 5 days of the week, then we could, you know, do the weekend. Like, how do we prioritize what we're spending money on? So it doesn't feel like we're, you know, we're reaching the end of month three and we're like, wow, we've been on vacation for 3 months and our bank accounts reflect that. So just learn how to still apply that same discipline with our budget, even when we're moving around, even when there's so many places that we want to check off the list to help us kind of stay on track.
I feel like that's good advice for life because even like, so I moved to a new city 3 years ago and I'm still exploring it. And I told my husband too, I'm like, for several, not just budgetary reasons, but I'm also like, we got to stop eating out so much. Like, we got to know what's going into our bodies in general, right? Because I always think like long-term medically, I don't want to be spending on bills later on. You know what I mean? So no matter what, there's a financially savviness to it, regardless. But I really like that, living just like within your means. And it's probably hard because you are in an Airbnb. So it's not like your go-to kitchen, right? So you're kind of like, oh, let me adjust. So I think in general, it's so easy for us that are privileged enough to go eat out to just go eat out, when really, if you look at it from a budget standpoint, but also a health standpoint, you should really just cook for yourself if you can.
Something as simple as like my Tupperware, right? I didn't travel. I didn't think of packing because I do, you know, we do still have our Houston apartment. I didn't think of packing like my to-go containers, right? My lunch containers. So then when I'm here, of course, your first instinct is to go to the store and buy all the, you know, the glass, the cute ones, like fit in the perfect little lunch box. And right now I'm literally like, I bought deli meat and I bought like my, you know, I'm resaving the plastic containers that comes and stuff. Like, I remember I would like, my growing up, my mom would do that, save all the sour cream containers and fill them with salsa or something. And I'm like, wow, like I literally have become her, because, you know, I don't need to spend $30 on a package of new, you know, lunch containers when really I'm just packing a side salad and it fits in little containers that I have in, you know, in the plastic with it that we naturally buy. So it's like, how do we keep recycling in mind and reusing? Because of course I want to go into like a Ross and a Marshalls and just like shop for the cutest things. Right? Like, why wouldn't I have the excuse, but it's like, you cannot keep doing that, because when you go back to Houston, there's going to be a whole bunch of like glass containers that you have. So again, making a mental note for our next move, like, let me pack, you know, my salad container that I know that I'm going to need, because I'm still in this work life that allows me to bring my lunch every day.
And you just brought up something which is, we take for granted how resourceful our mothers and grandmothers were, because they were very conscious about not tossing things. And my grandma was like that too. And I don't mean in a sense of hoarding, because that's a whole nother, you know, episode. But those glass containers that were great quality back then too, some of them are harder to find now, right? And Bear and I, you come to our kitchens, like mason jars galore, right? But it's that too, where they recycled something, use it. And you're like, oh yeah, that's my salsa jar. That's my hummus jar. This is what I'm using for just not just to save money, but just to be a little more conscious. And I like how you said, like, those little things we take for granted. So I love that. Every time I speak with you, Betsaida, it's like you come from a place of gratitude because you're literally living most people's dream life by the beach and all these, and these beautiful homes. I mean, you got to take pictures of those places, right? But it's also, you are constantly reminded how what a luxury it is to have your own coffee cup, to have your favorite pants, your favorite sweater, your favorite little things that maybe so often you just kind of like push to the side. You're like, oh my God, that sweater that I had forever. And I know you're getting ready to move again. And so it's just those thoughts that it's such a great reminder that people don't understand that our abundance comes from gratitude first. And sometimes you have to be out of your element to see how most of the world lives, right? Hot water is a huge, every day, that's my biggest, like, hot water that I have it in my cup for my coffee, and I get to shower with that. Most people in the world don't understand what that means. And I'm like, you are definitely missing out. So thank you for mentioning that.
No, I think it's one of those like everyday reminders of gratitude that I'm like, wow, I tell my mom all that time, like my ancestors' wildest dreams. And it never, every day that I go for a walk by the beach in the morning, I'm like, even my mom's like, Mija, the life that you're living, I'm like, I know. And it literally gets me emotional of like, I know, because I've lived through it, right? I don't come from this. So there's a special element of finding that gratitude in the everyday moments right now.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I love every second of everything you've shared. And it made me think of like how many times I reuse a Ziploc bag. I'm just like, so funny. But, you know, you're the first of lots of things, right? And Natalie and I talk about this, how sometimes it's almost like exhausting because you're just like, I'm just so tired. I don't want to be the first anymore. Like, you know, but I heard something yesterday that really, it just blew my mind. And I thought, and the person said something to the effect of like, I want to lay the foundation of wealth so that everybody else in my family that comes up doesn't have to start from scratch. And I was like, boom, like for my nieces and nephews, like I just want them to not have to struggle, not have to be the first, you know what I mean? So I love every second. So that being said, first college also, first one to go to college.
First so, college, first grad school, everything.
So how was it? If you could break down like, how was it for you to know that you were able to buy, for example, your first property too, like at such a young age, and then also pay for grad school? Like, tell us your approach. How did you save for that? Were you scared? Like, you know, it might still be an ongoing thing, right? Because loans are loans. So can you share a little bit about how you approached that since you were the first in your family to do both?
Yeah, no, when I think about being the first, because it's something that I've lived through, right? I think about it from school, from being the first in corporate America, right? I don't come from family that has jobs in this. So I always found myself being very curious. I didn't have a lot of role models growing up in this space. I would be the one watching a novela and be like, I want to be like her. Like, she's a girl, you know, traveling for work in the suitcase. But one of the things that I quickly learned is that when you show that curiosity, people are willing to answer the questions, right? People in corporate, my managers that I would be like, hey, this is my first time navigating a promotion. How do I go about this? Like, what skills are you looking for? So maybe in a year when I'm ready for it, how do I go about going into grad school? And I feel like there's always, I think it's a mixture of like my mom's prayers and the universe and my grit and perseverance, right? That there's always people that are willing to pour into you. You just have to be not afraid to ask the questions and know, like, I honestly don't know how to get to this, right? One of the things that when I started working at my first job out of college, I worked at Pepsi, and it was one of those companies where, you know, there is so many, like, it was such a diverse place that I would look at others that looked like me in these like director roles. And I would be in roles where in employee resource groups, right? I would be like, how did you get, you're Latina, like, how did you get to this? Like, you are a badass woman of color. Like, how are you in these roles? And they would be like, okay, I went to college, I started off in this company. And then there's organizations that help minorities get into master's degrees on a full-ride scholarship. And I would be like, oh, I always imagined that I one day would go back to school, maybe working mornings, going to school at night. Tell me more about this organization. And they would literally be like, this is a type of, you know, they're like, actually, you know, the company that you work for, they partner with these organizations. So I would go find people that are involved in these organizations, to the point where one of my last roles there was leading diversity initiatives for this company that then allowed me to be the main point of contact that help organizations like MLT, like Consortium, like Forte, that are all focused on helping professionals in corporate America make their way back into business school, because there's such a lack of representation of business leaders, of leaders in general, right? That they literally have a pathway to say, hey, you have to just quit your job for 2 years and become a full-time student. So that was a big caveat, right? Because I thought I was going to go to like night school and stuff. And I remember my process of going back to grad school started 2.5 years before I even made the decision to quit my job. So with that meant that I had to come home and tell my husband, like, hey, babe, at the time he was my boyfriend, not even fiance, not even husband. I was like, hey, I would like love to go to back to school one day. He's like, okay, cool. And I'm like, no, but like a full-time student, like, you know, like quit my job for 2 years.
Like you got to hold down, you got to hold this thing down.
Yeah, like I had to, you know, reset expectations, like not the kind of school that you and I, you know, he's a first in generation in his family too. So we know the, you know, we know the sacrifice that it takes, like, okay, we'll just go to a night school or something. I'm like, no. Like, hey, there's these programs. And I would bring him along on my journey. And I'd be like, there's these programs, you know, that are meant to help students like me, professionals like me, right, go back into the business world on full rides. And then I literally would be like, okay, so what does that mean? Hey, I need to take the GMAT. I need to take the GRE. I am not a good test taker. I'm first generation. Spanish is my first language. So when I tell you that I invested over $2,000 in studying material, in courses, in classes, only to not get the results that I needed, because these tests are naturally not made to measure intelligence for people like me, right? So I would literally have to go back to my husband and be like, babe, like, I didn't really do good on this test, you know? Like, and he'd be like, what else do we have to do? Like, let's not spend so much time at how these tests are not made for you, right? What do we have to do on the other side? And I literally like went through all these rounds of like testing. I ended up applying to 4 different schools that were test waiver optional, which means I didn't have to test into them. I didn't have to, yeah, take the exam into them. And then out of those 4, I got 3 full ride scholarships and a partial scholarship from 3 different schools across the country. And then we literally got married in August, and then September we hit the road to go on these road trips for these schools. So I would again bring him along with me, like, hey, what school do I see ourselves living in? What city do I see ourselves living in? And what school do I feel comfortable being myself? Right. So literally from anywhere from Austin, Houston, Atlanta, Indiana, like we were on a little far road trip at 29 years old. I went back to school later. You know, I worked for 7 years in my 20s. And then at 29, I ended up taking a full-time offer from Emory University. They gave me not only a full ride scholarship, but I also competed for one of their scholarships, one of their highest scholarships that awarded me $30,000 of a living stipend to help cover my expenses. So to know that there's organizations that help students, you know, to help people like me that want to find a way to grow as a leader, to really understand, you know, what does it mean to be in school and to have those financial resources. So I ended up getting a full ride scholarship, getting $30,000 for just living expenses to be able to finish my degree at 32 years old. Wow. Was a dream, you know, to be able to not have to go into debt for an MBA that has a very hefty price tag is a dream. But again, it started off with me seeing other people that I kind of look up to and ask them, how did you get there? And listen to what they're saying, right? Like, hey, and I would ask them, can you review my application? Do I have a strong enough story? Do I have the traits that they're looking for? And getting that coaching along the way helped pave the way so that when it was my turn, I'm like, okay, I think I got this. Like, let me give it a try.
And this is when I say we ain't got time to be tired, because we here are representing for the ones that are wanting to get to that next step, right? So like I heard curiosity there. I heard determination. And you're absolutely right. The more questions, I mean, that's how I did. I was just like, how do I do that? And then you just start figuring it out. So thank you. You reminded me why it's important not to get tired of being the first.
And the universe is rewarding her now with these beach city living and the lifestyle. And I think, you know, going back to the I think the controversial question though, like, should you go to grad school or not? And obviously I have my master's as well. So I know the benefits that I have, but I always bring up the concept saying, many of us won't even have an open door to those positions if we don't have at least the master's. So, you know, that's kind of, it depends what your field and what, if you need it and all that stuff. So it was great to have you on for that reason. So I know this is not going to be the last time that people hear from you. I thank you for being a part of this. But before we end, how can people find you on either Instagram or LinkedIn?
Of course, I am on LinkedIn as Betsaida Herrera. And then I am also on Instagram as Betsaida, Betzaira underscore H. So there you could find me. I love sharing a lot of my story just because I do think it's important for others that look like us and know how are you doing this corporate living? How are you getting these opportunities? What, you know, like there's a power of us changing the narrative of what we're used to. So you'll hear me go on my rants. You'll hear me, you know, pack up when it's time to move Airbnb. So I welcome any followers. And I also just want to thank you too for the opportunity to join. There's, the, you know, this power of women coming together to create these platforms. And when I met Natalie, I was like, wait, I've been following your story for like literally the last 10 years. Like I know about your podcast. And I remember hearing all, you know, hearing these episodes and just being like, wow, like these are like really cool women that I want to be. So it just means a lot to be part of this community.
Thank you so much. And we'll have you back. Stay tuned, so everyone.
Thank you.
To learn more about the podcast, follow us on Instagram at FinSavvy in 20 minutes and catch our interviews on YouTube. If you want to become a sponsor, hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, reach out to us at financiallysavvyin20minutes.com or send us a DM. All it takes is 20 minutes out of your day to become financially savvy.